All right, let's do it. Let's go over it. We're doing a Bible narrative summary, and we'll do it now as a practice, and then next time we'll do it as a legitimate test. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. All right, the Bible is a collection of what, Lucas?
66 books.
Yep, written by?
Prophets and apostles.
Yep, prophets and apostles. Good job.
Also, let me turn on that one.
Yep. Over what? Who's next? Jack, over what?
1,000 years.
Yeah, over a period of 1,000 years that altogether tell one unified story. Christians believe the ultimate author of all scripture is?
Holy Spirit.
Yep, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. The Jewish Bible is called the what? Who's got it? Yep.
Tanakh.
Yeah, it is the Tanakh, right, the Tanakh. It's the Jewish Bible. Is called the Tanakh. Yep. All right, let's see. The where are we at? Let's see. I lost my place. And was written in, Sarah, what language?
Hebrew.
Hebrew. That is correct. Good job. Hebrew. Written in Hebrew. Okay. Christians call the Jewish Bible the blank blank with blank books. Who's got it?
Old Testament with 39 books.
Yes, good job. The Old Testament with 39 books. Very good. All right, the other half of the Bible is the?
New Testament with 27 books.
Yep, New Testament with 27 books. Good, we're blasting right through this. Good job. Jack, what do you got?
There's 5 books in the Bible called the Torah, the Jewish word for the law.
Yep, and then let's go ahead and list them.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Yeah, very good. Good. All right, Mr. Odom, who is the nation or ethnic people of the Bible?
Jews.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. The name of the nation?
Israel.
Israel, yep. Yeah. Who is the mother and father of this new nation? Who is the mother and father of this new nation?
Abraham,
Sarah. Yep, Sarah and Abraham. Sarah and Abraham. Good. The Old Testament is full of blank that are left unfulfilled without the... Lucas, what do you got?
Covenants that are left unfulfilled without the new covenant.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Yeah. Full of promises. Covenants, promises. Sure. And are left unfulfilled without the New Testament. Right. It is in the New Testament that we see so many of the prophecies fulfilled. Yep. In the New Testament, this was a gimme. You got this one right. Ms. Banker, what'd you put down?
Jesus.
Jesus is the one who ultimately fulfills all the promises of the Old Testament. And instead of a nation, he builds the
church.
Church, yep. Builds the church. After Jesus returns to heaven, blank, take over the mission of building the blank.
The apostles take over the mission of building the church?
Yeah, I'll accept apostles or disciples, either one, because the apostles are dead and we're still building the church and we are disciples of Christ, right? Yep. The New Testament was originally written in...
Greek,
that is correct. Originally written in Greek. From the first verse of the Bible till the last chapter of the Bible, blank is the main character. Real easy.
God.
God, right. God. Yeah. In the Old Testament, blank warned people about God's judgment upon blank, which is a transgression of God's law. Two easy ones.
Prophets and sin.
Yep, prophets and sin. Very good. All right, let's go ahead and list the 5 Old Testament major prophetic books.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel.
That is correct. Good job. Good job. All right, list the 5 wisdom books.
Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Solomon.
Nice. And then, Jack, pick up the 4 Gospels.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yep. And then write out the first verse of the Bible. You should have 10 words.
Jesus
Start with an uppercase I and end it with a period.
In the beginning, God created heavens and earth.
That's it, sister. Good job. Yep, end it with a nice period. You're there. Yep. All right, what did you struggle with? What did you struggle with?
Prophetic books.
The prophetic books? Okay. What did you struggle with?
A few blank spots in the gym.
Okay. Jack, what did you struggle with?
The Bible's a collection of 66 books written by prophets and apostles.
Okay. Does it make sense to you now? Is it locked in your brain now? Now, let's remember that you got a couple of exceptions to that. You have a couple of exceptions, all right? Mark is not an apostle. Mark is not an apostle. Luke is not an apostle. So then what are we doing with those guys? Because Luke's writing the most of our New Testament, although it's only two books, it's more volume than any other writer. So what are we doing with them? Thoughts? Both of them are close associates to apostles. Both of them are close associates. Mark has a clear relationship with Peter, and Luke has a clear relationship with Paul. So both of them are close associates with apostles. Right? What's a prophet? Mr. Odom, what's a prophet?
Someone who prophesies.
Oh, that is someone who prophesies. You found that to be a very helpful definition
a
this
messenger?
Year. Yes. Yep. So a carpenter, is that someone who carpens? Yes. Yes. We going there? All right. And a plumber plumbs?
Yes.
Could you help me out, please? What's a prophet?
Says things that will happen.
Says things that will happen. Is that enough, Lucas, to simply say it's someone who says things that will happen?
No.
Okay. What else would you add?
They're sent by God to tell people these things.
Okay. Jack, you want to add anything to what a prophet does? All right, I want you to think about Nathan confronting David. David has this debacle with Bathsheba and Uriah, and then Nathan shows up. Is he there to prophesy about the future?
So
yeah.
Make him feel good.
Make them feel guilty.
Prophet is someone who delivers God's message.
Right. But it's like a thumbs up, have a great day, God loves you, high five. Is that kind of what the focus of the message is?
No.
What is it? What is it often a focus of?
You do wrong, you fix it this way.
Yeah, coming judgment. Right. Yeah, God's not happy with you guys. God's not happy with you. What's one of the major sins that God's not happy with Israel throughout the whole Old Testament?
Unbelief.
All right, unbelief. But how does it manifest itself? What do they often do? What are they often found doing? Think golden calf.
Idolatry.
Right, idolatry. It's a major problem for them. All right, what else did you not, what else were you ill-prepared to cover? What else were you ill-prepared to cover? All right, flip your paper over, flip it over, and write out our eight errors. Write out our eight errors. Write out our eight errors. And don't do them left and right. Do them top to bottom. Just do them top to bottom, okay? Do them top to bottom. You know what I mean by top to bottom?
Yes.
Like this, not like this, because then you won't have any room. You want me to put some letters on the board to help you?
Sure.
Sure? Okay. You want me to put the correct letters or just any letters?
Any letters?
Correct. Any letters?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Brains working. Luke, you don't need it. Lucas, you don't need any help, right?
Mm.
Come on.
Maybe for number four, but the rest I've got.
Okay, good. You got it? Okay, so we're doing those Old Testament errors. Jack, you there?
Yes.
Is Elder me there? Nice. All right, go ahead and write down a major character next to it. Write down a major character. Put a solid name of a major character. There'll be some options, but go ahead and put down a major character next to them. Leave it blank if you don't know. Let's get some major characters. Major characters during those times. What you peeking at? Forgot how to spell God?
No, I spelled paper.
Just skip it. Skip the error if you can't think of one. Skip the error and just go on. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. Let's just see how well you can get down 8 major characters. Lucas, do you have any blank?
For 7, I'm uncertain, and then 8 and 4 blank.
That should help you out a lot. All right. Okay. Is that what you got, Jack? Are you good? Are those letters the letters you have?
Wait, who's that? Oh, it's an acronym. I get it.
No, it's not an acronym. No, it's not an acronym. No, it's not an acronym. Wow. You got them all? 8? 8? 8? 8? 8? Wow. Jack, 8? Nice. Okay. Start with 8. Nice. Yep. All right, let's do it. First one was what?
Creation.
Followed by?
Creatures.
Exodus.
Conquest.
Judges.
Kingdom.
Exile.
Return.
Good. All right, Jack, who'd you have down for creation?
Adam,
that's pretty obvious.
Seth.
Yep, Seth works. Absolutely, Seth works. Who else? Anybody else?
Noah.
Yes, absolutely Noah. Right. Absolutely Noah. Yes. The flood is part of the creation story. Because the next era is patriarchs, and it doesn't start till when? Yes, chapter 12, Genesis 12. All right, so who do we have for patriarchs?
Job.
Abraham. Job? All right, we'll go with Job from over here, since he's not in Genesis. Yeah, who?
Abraham.
Yeah, who else?
Isaac.
Isaac, who else?
Jacob.
Good, who else?
Joseph.
Good, all right, excellent. So lots of choices there. Lots of choices there. Jack, who do you have down for the Exodus?
Moses.
Yeah, they have Moses, and he would definitely be the major character. Moses would be. Although not the only one.
Aaron.
All right, who?
Aaron.
Aaron, sure. Aaron would be another great addition. Miriam, his sister, would be another great addition. Jethro, his father, and we could go on and on. All right, conquest. Did this J help you, Lucas? Would you put down James or Jude? Which one, James or Jude?
John.
John, you put down John.
Joshua.
Joshua, right, of course. Joshua, right, Joshua. And his running buddy is who?
Caleb.
Caleb, that's correct. Joshua and Caleb. And there's another book. Remember, there's another book that's also part of this time. Now, this is more, we'll move it over here. What's the person in the in Jericho? What's her name?
Rahab.
Yeah, Rahab, right. Rahab, yep. I want to include Rahab. All right, Judges gives us lots of names, doesn't it? Judges gives us a 10. What do you got, Adam?
Deborah,
of course.
Samson.
Gideon.
Samuel. Yep, and there are others. Ehud, we could go on and on with the characters there. If we had to pick a main character, who do you think that would probably be?
David.
In the Judges? In the Judges, who would our main character be? If we had to pick one, if we had to nail one down.
God.
God's the main character in all 8 of them.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're always going to be right if you say God, Lucas.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Just put that down for all of them.
No,
okay.
Not if you want to get it correct.
Okay.
We'll put down human characters on the test to make sure that you don't do that. All right, Judges. I would put down Samuel. Why Samuel?
He's got the most.
He's got a lot of time, and he's also a transitional figure that moves us from where to where. He's a transitional figure. What do we mean by a transitional figure?
From different stories?
Yes, and he transitions us from the judges to the kingdom. How does he do that? How does he transition us from judges to kingdom?
He was the one that anointed Saul.
That's correct. He's the one that anointed not only Saul, but also who?
David.
Also David. That's correct. Also David. Also David. But we do have a plethora of choices, and you guys named several of them. All right. Kingdom.
David.
Yep. Yep. So we'll put David in the middle. We'll put an S over here for Solomon. And then this letter would be who?
Saul.
Saul, right. And what did we call it when we take these three and we put them together? What do we call that?
United Kingdom.
Yeah, we called it the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom. And we gave that a number. How many years was that kingdom united?
120.
Yeah, where did we get that 120 from?
40 years of each one.
Yep, 40 years of each one. Very good. All right. Did this help you or not? Lucas, did this help you or not?
I thought Z was in exile and captivity.
Okay.
But I already knew the name.
All right, good. So exile and captivity. So these are our prophets. These are our prophets. Men like Daniel, men like Ezekiel, men like Jeremiah. All right? All those guys, those are the characters during this exile / captivity. And then, by the way, if I'm going to put a number in here, who knows what number I need to write in here? And to see, if I'm going to put a number in here, what number? Anybody?
70.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put a 70 in there. Why, Anna? Why do I put a 70 in there? Because it lasts 70 years. The captivity lasted 70 years. It was a 70-year captivity in where? Where was Daniel carried off to? What country?
Babylon.
That's correct. Babylon. All right. Lucas, the N is for who?
Nehemiah.
Yeah, Nehemiah. The N is for Nehemiah. And the E is for?
Ezekiel?
No, Ezekiel's up here.
Ezra.
That's correct. Ezra. And this is the name that I told you guys I wanted you to name your first child.
Zerubbabel.
Yeah, Zerubbabel. And I'm yet to find a girl that will take me up on committing herself to naming her son.
I'll do it as a middle name.
A middle name. That'll work. Yeah. Anyway, he is the first man that leads the Israelites back to rebuild the temple and get things going. And he just kind of gets the initial onslaught of people returning. There are actually three waves, Ezra, and then followed by Nehemiah. All right. So if I draw a line like this, what letter am I going to write here after this line? What giant letter am I going to write here?
S.
An S. That's correct. An S. And why an S, Jack?
Silence.
Yes. And what number am I going to put here?
400.
That's correct. 400. Because when we turn that page at Malachi and we flip a page to get to Matthew, insert 400 years of silence. Insert 400 years of silence. So if I'm going to continue this with the New Testament, if I'm going to continue with this, the New Testament, who's going to show up as my first major character right here? I've got my 400 years of silence. Everyone tracking?
John the Baptist.
And, yep, it is John the Baptist. That is correct. It is J, lowercase t, uppercase b. It is John the Baptist. And he, once again, is my transitional figure. What do I mean by he's my transitional figure? What do I mean by he's my transitional figure?
He marks the start of the New Testament.
All right, not bad. Yeah, marks the start of the New Testament. When John the Baptist shows up, he looks a lot like what?
Jesus.
No. An Old Testament.
Prophet.
Yes, an Old Testament prophet. He's talking about the law. He's yelling about things. He's confronting sin. Okay? He eats locusts and honey. He's not in the city like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Where does he live?
Wilderness.
Yeah, in the wilderness, and he comes in and he's confronting sin, and he looks and sounds a lot like an Old Testament prophet. And he's really, in some regards, the last Old Testament prophet in the sense of a transitional figure. He's going to move us to who? To Jesus. That is correct. He's going to move us to Jesus. He's going to move us to Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. So if we have our major focus on Jesus the Christ, and then underneath Jesus the Christ, what am I going to put?
Apostles.
Yes, my apostles. I'm going to put my apostles in. And what number am I going to put here? What number? What number is going to go here? We had a 70 right there. We have a 400 right here. We have a 120 right here. What number is going here? 12. Good job. Good job. 12. Right. 12. Where else should I put that 12 on my dry erase board? Where else should I put that 12 on my dry erase board? Where else should I put another 12 on my dry erase board?
Patriarchs.
Yes, and where in particular? Under who? I've got an A for Abraham, an I for Jacob. I've got a J for Jacob. I mean, I for Isaac, a J for Jacob, and a J for Joseph. So where am I going to put that 12?
Under Jacob.
Under Jacob. Good job. You are correct. Right. Why under Jacob? Why did you choose under Jacob?
Yeah, 12 sons.
Yes, and his sons are the what?
Tribes of Israel.
That's right, the tribes of Israel. His sons are the tribes of Israel, right. So if, in fact, it's going to like throw this on the board. Here's Jesus the Christ. John the Baptist is introducing Jesus the Christ. And then we have the 12 apostles. We have the 12 apostles. If this is over here, the major focus is on Yahweh, way up here, and Yahweh is the dominant figure in the creation, the patriarchs, the Exodus, the conquest, the judges, the kingdom. He's the dominant figure in the exile. He's the dominant figure in the return. And then we move over here to Jesus the Christ being the visible Yahweh, major focus of the Gospels. All right, who's the parallel that's going right here? Come on, I'm asking you to think. I'm asking you to think.
Holy Spirit?
Yes, yes, Jack, the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit becomes the dominant influence of God on the planet after Jesus ascends. It's now all about the Holy Spirit indwelling who?
The believers.
The believers, that's correct. And we are now building what?
Church.
The church. That is correct. We're now building the church. And the Holy Spirit is all about building the church. All about building the church. Okay? Again, we're learning this meta-narrative. We're organizing this meta-narrative. We're making sure that we're getting it. So, what are our major events in the first first era? What are our major events that we definitely have to get locked in our brain? What are the things that we should have memorized, really locked down? You can't have all the details of the Old Testament down. You're not going to know it all. But under our first era of creation, let's say that we're doing it like this, Sarah. We're going to do a giant Roman numeral number one, and then we're going to say creation, and we're going to build this outline so that we can write this overarching paper about the Old Testament. What are my A and my B? What are the letters? What's going to be these? Give me a
creation.
What?
Creation.
All right, you want to do it like that? Okay. Yep, let's do it like that. All right. So this is the creation. We'll do it like this. We'll do days of creation. All right. And then you want to come down here with the letter B and put the fall. All right. I'll go with you on that. We're going to take this. We're going to take this all the way up to where? We're going to take this all the way up to where? Chapter 12 of Genesis. Chapter 12 of Genesis is going to be our next Roman numeral what? 2. And what's it going to be titled? Patriarchs. Good job. So if this is A, days of creation, B is the fall, what's C going to be? And what's D going to be? Yeah, good. The flood. Yep, excellent. You're on the right track. Perfect. Good job. Yep.
Tower of Babel.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel. Excellent. The Tower of Babel. Right. Good job. That's perfect. It doesn't get much better than that. That's good. Okay. Now, this allows us then subsequently to have the fun of doing a number one here, and the fun of doing a number one here, a number one here, same thing down here, okay? So, dig deeper with me now. Dig deeper with me. Where are we going here? If we're going to now push our outline a little bit deeper, give me something that's going to go somewhere. You want to open your Bible, or you got it locked in your brain? Go.
You could miss what was
created. Yeah, if you wanted to. Let's do it like this. Let's do 6 days of creation. And then what could my A, B, C, D underneath that be? What would my lowercase a, lowercase b? Come on, you guys have built an outline before. I know surely all of you have built an outline. Lowercase a, lowercase b, lowercase c. What would that be? We won't write it on the board. What would it be?
Day 1, 2, 3, perfect. 4, 5, 6.
Yep, exactly. Yes, exactly. Perfect. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so what would number 2 be then? If this is my 6 days of creation, what would number 2 be?
Day 7, day of rest.
Yeah, this would be day 7. This would be my Sabbath. This would be my Sabbath. Good. All right. Yep. This would be my Sabbath. Now open up your Bible to chapter 2. Open your Bible to chapter 2. Is there anything in chapter 2 that we want to mention of significance? Anything we want to mention of significance?
Creation out of people.
Yeah. Now, what do we need? How do we understand chapter 2, Lucas? How do we understand chapter 2? We talked about this last year. How do we understand chapter 2 in its relationship to chapter 1?
It's like zooming in on day 6.
Perfect. Yeah, it's zooming in on day 6. That is exactly correct. Make sure that you get that locked in your brain if you weren't here last year. Right. So, you guys got all this down? We can erase it now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, good. And you'll be ready for testing on this next week, right? Right? Nod your heads, right? You'll be ready for testing on all this without any notes. Good, right, because you've got your notes and you're going to study it, right? 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 Okay. Wasn't a very affirmative yet. Right. Okay. You have 100 today? Did you get 100 today? I'll ask you differently.
No.
No. Okay. Well, next week. All right. So, Lucas, as I'm erasing this, if this is my day 6, what do I need to do now? How do I communicate this? This is my day 6 right here, right? This is my day 5. This is day 7. I'm now going to do what here?
Arrow going from that in a big circle.
Yeah, now I'm really going to do what?
Expand on.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you everything in chapter 2 that happened on day 6. Right. Because in chapter number 1, look at verse 26. Look at verse 27. Look at those verses. What's it say? Anybody pick up those verses. What's it say?
Let us make men in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Right. So do we have any names in chapter 1?
No.
No, we don't have any names at all in chapter 1. We don't have any names at all. Now we're going to get some names. Boom. All right, first name we get is the name man. All right, the name man. And we normally call man what? Adam. Come on, you guys remember this from last year. At least I hope you do. What did we learn last year about this word Adam in relationship to the word man?
Adam means man.
Yeah, same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word. Right. If I put an uppercase on it, I'm referring to one particular individual, Adam. If I just say Adam, I'm referring to humans. Humans, okay? I don't find out Eve until chapter 3. I don't find out Eve until chapter 3. What is her name in chapter 2?
Woman.
Yes, woman, right. And why woman?
Because it came from
man. Yep, out of the man. That's it. That's the essence of it. Out of the man. Now look at verse 4, I think. Look at 3 or verse 4 in chapter 2. Somebody read it to me.
These are the generations of
perfect, God. Perfect, good. That's it. That word generations. Who can remember from last year what that Hebrew word was?
Toledot.
That's correct, Jack. It is Toledot. It is Toledot. And this is Moses' word. It's his favorite word in Genesis. He's going to use it more than 10 times. And every time he uses it, it's like a chapter break. It's like a section break. It's like a giant movement from one thing to the next thing. And he walks through Genesis with these toledots. And as you read verse number 4 again, read it one more time, nice and loud. Anybody?
These are the generations of heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
All right, very good. So all other subsequent toledots for the rest of the book of Genesis involve a male, help me out, and a
woman.
Yeah, a female. And together they will make the generations. Together they will make the generations. Are you following me? Together they will. That's the next one and all subsequent ones. But this one doesn't have a male and female. Instead, what does it have? Read the verse. Look down at the verse. Instead, it doesn't. You don't find a male's name and a female's name. Instead, what are you looking for? What's the parallel structure?
Heaven.
Good. The heavens and the earth. Now think about what you know about how the Bible communicates that God made man. Think about what you know about the way the Bible communicates how God made man. What's it say?
Out of the dust of the earth.
All right, out of the dust of the earth. So we're going to give God arms. That's called anthropomorphism. We learned it last year. Whenever we give God a human characteristic, so we're going to give God arms. We're going to give God fingers, and he's going to reach down into the earth, the dust, and what's God going to do? We're not there yet. What's he doing first with the earth? Yeah, he's forming man. He's using the dirt to form man, like a clay, like making something clay. And all that is the earth. That's the earth part. Adam's made from the dust, and he's going to return to the dust. That's right. So that's the earth part. What's the language that brings the heavens in? What's the language that in the text in chapter 2? What's the language that brings the heavens in?
Breath of life.
Yeah. And read the exact language. What's it say in particular?
And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life.
All right, so now we've got this clay man that we've made, and now God's gonna take his hands, and he's gonna cup them over Adam's what? Nostrils, and what's he gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna blow life into him. So that this is how Adam becomes the union of the what and the what?
The earth.
Yes, the earth is his body, the dust, and what's he receiving from heaven? A soul, life, right? God's literally breathing life into him. He moves from being dead to alive. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful foreshadowing of what God will do for us in Christ Jesus when we are spiritually dead and he breathes his spirit of life in us and makes us born again. He gives us new life. We don't read about this with any animal. There's nothing in the Bible that says that he does this with animals. He doesn't even do it with Eve. This is unique to Adam in the beginning. Now, we're not saying that Eve doesn't have a soul. Of course, that's stupid to say that. But we're trying to learn here that the creation of man, Adam here, involves God uniting the earth to the heaven, like a marriage, like a union, okay? The two coming together. And then Adam and Eve will produce children, and that will be our next Toledoth. That will be our next Toledoth. So, let's see. I think it's chapter 5. Quickly turn to chapter 5. Yeah. So now look at chapter 5, verse number 1. Somebody read it, please.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
Yep. There you have it. And now we're going to learn all about Seth. We're going to walk the dog on Seth, his genealogy. All right, is there anything else that happens of significance in this? Remember, we're doing here these Roman numerals. Letters, numerals 1, 2, 3, 4. What else do we need to write down over here? What else do we need to write down? What else do we need to think about in chapter 2?
Making the mare.
Yeah, we did that in the sense of the days of creation. But what's happening of even greater significance in chapter 2? Look at the end of chapter 2. Look at the end of chapter 2. What's the last couple verses in chapter 2 talk about?
Union.
Yeah, read the whole thing. Read some verses.
And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made it to woman and brought her to the man. The man said, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and thou shalt become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
All right, so what are we going to call this? And we're going to actually label it number 4, because I want us to go back and do 3. What are we going to actually label this? All right, I'll help you out. First
marriage?
Yes, the first marriage. Who's the officiant at the first marriage?
God.
God. How long was the engagement period?
2 seconds.
2 seconds? Okay. Right. Wasn't long. All right. God brought Eve to Adam and said, "This is your woman." All right. No dating, no courtship. You're now married. Bone of your bone, flesh of my flesh. What am I missing? Go back and look up there a little bit. What do we need? We've got to talk about something in here, in the middle. What do you think of great significance?
The tree?
Yeah, we got to talk about some trees. Right, we got some trees to talk about. And in fact, we probably should do it like if we were doing it. Let me come over here. Is that tree large enough for y'all to see?
Yeah.
No? Yes, a little bit? Well, that would be our 3, and then our A and our B, so 2 trees, right? 2 trees. And then what would A be? Say it. Just say it. You know what? You said it. I heard your mouth that I saw you.
Tree of life.
Yeah, the tree of life. And then what's B going to be?
Tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Exactly, right. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right, and 1 tree is going to provide life, and 1 tree is going to provide
death.
That is correct. Right. And the tree of life stays with us all the way until when?
Revelation.
Yeah, all the way to the end. To the end. Your story of your Bible starts with a tree and ends with a tree. And what's the middle tree?
The cross.
It's the cross. That is correct. It is absolutely positively the cross that Christ died on. Okay, all right, so now we got the fall. And that's letter number B, the fall. What chapter are we in now?
3.
We're in 3. Right, okay. We got some legitimate 1, 2, 3s, 4s. We got several things that we need to talk about. Give me some of them in the right order. Give me some of them in the right order.
Fruit.
What?
Fruit.
Even before that, look in verse number 1, Anna. What?
The circumcision.
Yeah. I got this new character showing up, right? So number 1 would be meat. Meat.
Meat.
Yeah, meet the serpent. Meet the serpent. Do we know it's, at this point in the story, Sarah, do we know it's Satan?
No.
No. Do we know that it's bizarre that he's talking? Do we know that it's bizarre that he's talking?
Yes.
Really? We know that? Do we know that it's bizarre that he's talking it? Is there anything that we've read in the first 2 chapters that would cause us to think it's bizarre that he's talking?
No.
No. Right. Okay? We don't know what the human-animal, how close the human-animal relationship was before the fall. It says that Adam named all the animals. He had dominion over all the animals in chapter number 2. All right. So meet the serpents. All right. Now, number 2. The temptation. Okay. Number 3. The sin. What do you think number 4 is going to be?
The punishment.
What?
The punishment.
Yeah, the consequences. The consequences. All right, now I'm teaching you guys how to outline, how to think, and Bible simultaneously. How many little letters am I going to have under the consequences?
3.
All right, why did you say 3?
Adam's punishment, Eve's punishment, and the serpent's punishment.
Right, but you actually did them in the incorrect order, right? How's it laid out? Who knows?
Serpent, man.
Serpent, woman, man.
Yep. Serpent, woman, man. Yep. First to the serpent, then to the woman, finally to the man. Right. Okay? Finally to the man. We turn the page in chapter 4, and what happens? We're not going to go into too much detail. We turn the page in chapter 4, and what happens?
Cain and Abel.
Yeah, we meet Cain and Abel. And things get better, right?
No.
No, things don't get better at all. Things don't get better at all. We go from bad to worse. We go from bad to worse. All right, go from bad to worse. So chapter 4, what are our high points in chapter 4? What are our high points? What are our high points? Chapter 4, what are our high points? We got Cain murdering
Abel.
Abel, and what's it over? What's it over?
Offering.
What?
An offering.
An offering. That's correct. Over an offering. That is right. And how did what's the issue with the offering? Who can remember from last year what the issue is with the offering? Yeah.
Cain was jealous. He didn't do his best.
Yeah. What was the problem with his offering? Describe it. Give it some words.
It was pitiful.
Pitiful?
It wasn't out of heart.
Out of heart? Can you remember anything from last year? I know it's been a long time ago. One was blood and one was grains. What was the key word that we were missing in the
first fruits?
Yeah, first fruits, because he had the fat and all that. And then what was missing?
First fruits.
Right. There was nothing said about his offering. There wasn't an adjective in front of it that let us know what?
It was the best.
It was the first fruits. It was nothing. And that was completely missing. And so how does it react? Right. But before that, look here at 7 or 8, 4, 7 or 4, 8. There's a really important verse. What is that verse? I thought it was somewhere around there.
It's 7.
It's 7?
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody read 7, please.
If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. His desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.
Okay, so in verse 7 right there, underline the word sin. Underline the word sin. We have not heard anything about sin up to this point. This is our first introduction to the word sin. And our Creator expects us to what?
Rule over
sin. Easy, right?
No. Absolutely not.
When do you have the hardest time ruling over sin? Or with whom do you have the hardest time ruling over sin? Or what is the day or the time or the method or the hour?
When I'm tired or the family.
My brother.
When you're hungry? Either of the Allen sisters? You guys always rule over sin?
Around Jonas.
Jonas? He makes it hard to rule over sin. Okay. Miss Banker, do you have any problems ruling over sin, or you got it?
Siblings.
That's all we're going to say. Siblings. Does your oldest fit in that category as well?
Not as much as the youngest.
Not as much as the younger. All right. That's chapter 4. Who else do we meet in chapter 4?
Seth.
Yep. We meet Seth. Yep. Who else do we meet?
Enoch.
Yeah, Enoch. Who's our villain in the rest of chapter 4? What's his name?
Lamech.
Yeah, Lamech. And Lamech brags about what? What's he brag about?
Being worse than Cain.
Yes, exactly. He compares himself to Cain and magnifies it. What else does Lamech have?
Two
wives. Yeah, he has two wives. Okay. All of chapter 5 is a series of what? Yeah, it's a series of names. One generation after another generation after another generation. Who is the one that stands out in that whole thing?
Noah.
Yes, in the end, but of greater significance in the middle. For his age, you're thinking? Who else?
Enoch.
Enoch, why?
Because he got taken up.
Yeah, he didn't die. That's a pretty big deal. That puts him in a pretty exclusive category, Lucas. Not a lot of folks can say, I didn't die. Who else? Who else? Not in that chapter. Who else in your Bible? Come on, you guys. You know who else didn't die. He was carried up.
Elijah,
right. Elijah didn't die. He was carried up in a what?
A chariot of fire.
Yes, exactly. Good.
I didn't die. At least not yet.
Very true, Lucas. I guess you're in a category as well of Enoch and Elijah, right? Yep. All right, let's get into number 3, the flood. The flood. All right, we've got something bizarre going on in number 1 that we will not spend any time talking about. We did last year. But there's some issue going on between whom and whom. I'm right here. The sons.
The sons of heaven.
Sons of God.
Sons of God and the daughters of man.
Yep, and the daughters of man. All right, we're just going to give that a little cursory number 1, and we're going to move on. All right, number 2. The call of.
Man.
No, we already did man over here. The call of who? Who's our major character now?
Noah.
Of Noah. Right, right. Okay, look around verse 7 or 8. What's it say? Chapter 6, look around 7 or 8. What's it say? But? Noah found favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of who?
The Lord.
Yeah, in the eyes of Yahweh. What is it? One more time, Jack. What is it when we give Yahweh eyes?
No,
it doesn't start with an E. Starts with an A. Yes. Yes, anthropomorphism. It's when we give God eyes. Eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to reach, an arm to touch. Anthropomorphism. So it says that the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Not that the Lord has any eyes. Why doesn't the Lord have eyes? God is a
spirit.
That's right. God is a spirit. All right. So we've got the call of Noah. Number 3. Time on the what? Time on the ark. Number 4. Number four, anything? God's what?
Covenant.
Yeah, good. God's covenant, God's promise. Number five, Noah's fall. Noah's fall. What? Noah's fall? Yeah, Noah has a fall. Noah falls. There's something written about two things.
He gets drunk and he's naked.
Yeah, he's drunk and he's naked. But wait a minute. That really sounds familiar to me. That really sounds familiar to me. Am I supposed to be thinking about a parallel right now? Am I supposed to be thinking about a parallel as I read this second major story? The first one was about Adam and Eve, and now I've got the story about Noah, who finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's described as walking with God. He's described as being blameless. Sounds like he's a really righteous guy, right?
Yeah.
Who was my first righteous guy?
Adam.
Adam, exactly. It was Adam. And God created Adam, and Adam had his fall. But now let's think about this. Adam, don't eat of the what?
Fruit.
The fruit, right. Adam, don't eat of the fruit. Okay? And what does he do?
Eats the fruit.
Yeah, he eats of the fruit. And immediately after eating the fruit, what is he aware of?
His nakedness.
His nakedness, right. His nakedness. His nakedness. So here's Adam in my chart. Here's Noah in my chart. Adam is a righteous guy, made by God, no sin nature. He's amazing. And he has his own fall from grace. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah is described as a man who's righteous, walks with the Lord. He's blameless. And then something to do with fruit results in his drunkenness, right? Why am I saying fruit?
Fruit of the vine.
Fruit of the vine. Good job. And then the text actually has a specific reference to Noah's nakedness and how one of the sons has to walk in backwards and cover his nakedness up. And so obviously the author wants me to think of Noah as what? Noah's personal fall. All right, why are we doing this? Why is the author, Moses, building this case that humans fall? Silence. Complete silence. We have no idea why the author this early in the meta-narrative is showing us that Adam fell and Noah fell. Why is he doing this?
He wants to show that humans all have sinned.
Yeah, and what else?
They need a savior.
They need a savior. Exactly. Right. Okay. Way back here when we were, let's see, where were we? We were in the consequences of sin. We were in the consequences of sin. We forgot about something. Jack, what did we forget about? What promise did we forget about that we shouldn't have forgot about in chapter 2? Come on, this is from last year.
Someone crushed the head of the serpent.
That's right. We called it the proto...
evangelium.
Yeah, the proto-evangelium. It's the first promise of the gospel, the first good news promise. What verse number was it in chapter 2? No, chapter 3. What verse number was it in chapter 3?
315.
All right, take a look at it. Find it in your Bible. Take a look at it. Find it in your Bible. Get out your pen. Were you correct, Jack? Was it in fact 315?
Yes.
Genesis 3:15. And there's just this little promise. The offspring of the woman is going to... Ms. Banker, read it, please.
I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Yeah. So, Eve's offspring is going to have his heel injured. But in the process, he will crush the head of the serpent. The head of the serpent. Why is there such animosity towards the serpent? Why do we hate the serpent? Why do we hate the serpent?
Because
that feeling of kicked out of paradise.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Imagine you getting to, I don't know, I can't think of something for you. Maybe you have a dream college, or maybe for you, Jack, there's some camp where you're going to learn from the best fishing teachers in the planet. I mean, the best anglers that exist. And you're going to spend an internship all fishing season on this one particular ship with the best anglers that the industry knows. Anglers, fishermen. But Jack's given a set of rules that he has to follow on this ship. And it's a strict set of rules. And one of them is that Jack cannot eat the Cherry Garcia ice cream in the captain's refrigerator. The Ben and Jerry's captain's refrigerator. Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream. Do you like ice cream at all, Jack? All right, good. That'll work a little bit. And a buddy convinces him that they can sneak into the captain's quarters, open the refrigerator, and he'll never miss one of the pints of the Ben and Jerry's ice cream. He'll never miss it. The next morning or afternoon, if you want to wait, he finds something's missing in the refrigerator. They do a full-blown search of the ship, and underneath Jack's bunk is the carton, the empty carton. They ate it all night, and it's there. How is Jack going to feel about his buddy that led him to the quarters to get the ice cream?
He's gonna try and blame
him. Because now he's off the ship. Jack, the internship's over with. You're done. You're off. The summer that you thought you were gonna spend on the high seas with the best anglers that the industry has, you're off. I mean, they send a helicopter and you're taking off. You're done. We can't trust you to be on our ship. We can't trust you to follow instructions. You're off. You're out of here. How does he feel about the friend, the bunkmate, the guy that led him into the temptation? How's Jack feel about that guy?
Angry.
Why angry? Jack, why are you upset with that guy that, we'll give him a name. We'll call him Lucas. That'll work. That's an arbitrary name. We'll call him Lucas.
Let's go get some ice cream, buddy. Come on.
Wow. He immediately went into character. Did you see how fast that happened? That was scary.
You want some ice cream too?
Jack, how are you going to feel about that guy?
I want to throw him off the ship.
Yes, exactly. What I'm trying to get you guys to grasp is the degree of animosity. Are you familiar with that word, animosity?
Kind of.
All right? Hatred. You despise this Lucas character that woke you up in the middle of the night and convinced you that it was a good idea to go get ice cream from the captain's quarters.
It's because it is.
Yeah, he's doing that so well. Yeah. But the point of the matter is, When Eve receives a promise in Genesis 3:15 that the offspring is going to crush the head of the serpent, do you think that she was thinking 2,000, 4,000 years later in Jesus? What do you think she was thinking?
Her first son.
Yeah. Her first son. So now, ladies, I want you to think how despondent you're going to be. Despondent. Abel's dead, and Cain's sent in exile. Exile. So now what are you thinking to yourself?
Has God forgotten?
Yeah. Because you know it's not going to be Abel because he's
dead.
You know it's not going to be Cain because he's a murderer. He's gone. So now who's it going to be? You're wondering. Until when?
Seth.
And Seth is our first child of promise. Why do I say that? Why do I say that?
The generations begin with him.
Yeah, it's the very first son of Adam that's going to lead to. That's going to lead to.
Noah.
That's going to lead to. No, you got to be a lot more specific than other people.
Jesus.
Yes. 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 From this point right here, the Bible is going to start tracing a lineage, a toledot, that's going to lead me all the way to Jesus. It's going to lead me all the way to Jesus. That's why we're paying attention to names. That's why we care about names. That's why genealogies are in your Bible. They're not there just to fill up pages. They're not there for boring names and long lists. Okay? They're not there for that. Your Bible provides a listing of the genealogy of Jesus, starting with Adam, Seth, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. And we can just go on and on and on and on. All these high points. David, Solomon, before David, Boaz. I mean, we fill it in all the way to Jesus. And these names are incredibly important because of the promises. Because of the promises. Because of the promises. So in chapter number 5, Noah falls. So Adam's fell and Noah's fallen. So we really need God to raise up somebody who's going to crush the head of the serpent. Because it's not going to be Cain. It's not going to be Abel. It's not going to be Seth. It's not going to be Noah. Well, who in the world is it going to be? All right. Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel. If so far we've seen the fall of Adam, and if we've seen the fall of Cain, and if we've seen the fall of Noah, and many other sin stories, what do you think the Tower of Babel is all about? What do you think the Tower of Babel is all about? Well, go ahead and take a look at chapter 10 and 11. Let's flip the pages to 10 and 11. Chapter 10 is all about another what? Another what? Chapter 10. It's all about another what? Starts with letter T.
Toledot.
Another Toledot. It's the Toledot of who?
Noah.
Right. Noah's sons. And who are those sons?
Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Yep. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Notice in verse number 2, he skips over somebody. He skips over. I want you to see. You have the order of being Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Firstborn, second, and third. Three sons. Flip over, and who's he start with?
Japheth.
And then where's he go?
Ham.
Ham. Hey, buddy, you're missing somebody. He's missing somebody. All right? And then we have Shem. Okay? So those are the sons. Now read verse number 1 of chapter 11. The whole
earth had one language and the same words.
As people
migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of
Shinar.
Shinar settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks with stone and the two men for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and they are confused, and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over all the face of the earth.
Okay, so this very act of Yahweh as a judgment against this people creates the nations. Or another word is the ethnicities. The ethnicities. And what is the thing that unites them in the beginning?
Their language.
Language, that's correct. They have in the very, very beginning what? One language. And in the end of the story, they have multiple what?
Languages.
Languages. And each different language creates a different group of people. And they find commonality in the language because they can talk to each other. And this is a sovereign act of God creating multiple languages. And each language creates a unique ethnicity. And these people migrate to different parts all over the world. And this, and therein we have the beginning of the ethnicities. So if we go back here to our Tower of Babel, we find that this people is sinning. The sin at Babel. What is the sin? What is the sin? Who can remember what the sin is? The Bible tells us what the sin is.
Staying together.
Right. What were they supposed to be?
Spread.
Right. What was their instructions in chapter 1? Be fruitful, multiply, and what?
Fill the earth.
Fill the earth. Fill the earth. They were supposed to occupy all of God's good earth. He had made it for humans and he expected them. Instead, what are they doing?
Staying together.
Right. They're staying together. What does our tower, I know you know this, Lucas, what does our Tower of Babel represent? What does it represent? What does it represent? All right, we'll go back to our board. Let's think for a minute. Let's go back to our board over here. We're going over here. We're going to put Adam over here, and we're going to put the people of Babel over here. All right? There we go. People of Babel. All right, Kenzie, tell me what happens after Adam and Eve sinned. They're immediately made aware of their what? They're immediately aware of their what?
Nakedness.
Their nakedness. Their nakedness. And what do they do? What do they do? What do they immediately do?
Cover.
With what?
Fig leaves.
Right, fig leaves. And fig leaves are man's attempt to what?
Hi,
not bad.
Cover
my, take care of my sin problem. Right, and what does God immediately do for them? What does Yahweh immediately do for them?
He kills
an animal and provides the what?
Clothing.
The covering, right? And what is that a what of?
It's a foreshadowing of what's to come.
It's a foreshadowing of what's to come, and what's to come?
Jesus.
Who will provide what? To cover our sins. Exactly. So early in Genesis chapter number 3, Yahweh sheds the blood of an animal to provide a covering for Adam and Eve that is a lasting covenant, a permanent covering, a covering that will last. Okay? Now, this is Adam and Eve's attempt to deal with their sin problem, to take care of what they lost in the garden. What does the tower represent? The word's in the text. The word that we're thinking about is in the text. Go back and look at the text. Read. We're looking for key words in the text. The Lord, let's back it up. The whole earth had the same language as people migrated east. Come, let us make a tower. Okay. Where do they want to go with this tower? Where do they want to go?
The
to the heavens. That's right. They want to go to the heavens. So based on that, what does that represent?
Trying to make a way to heaven himself.
Perfect. 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 That's exactly what it represents. This is they're ignoring God's plan and trying to make a way to the heavens for themselves. Now, there's some irony in the text. There's some language that's just unbelievably ironic. What is it? What's the language that is ironic? You should see the sarcasm, hear the sarcasm. What's the irony?
Verse 5.
Yes, tell me how it's ironic.
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built.
Yeah. What's ironic about it?
Came down.
Right. Is this tower big?
Yes.
Okay. From a human perspective?
Yes.
But from God's perspective,
no.
How do we know that?
He has to come down to see it.
Yes, he has to come down to see it. This thing is so pitiful that now again, can God see it?
Yes.
Does he need to come down?
No.
So this language is not for God. This language is for who?
Us,
right. So what we're supposed to understand is that this attempt to work your way to heaven is as pitiful as these fig leaves. They're as pitiful as these fig leaves. It's so pitiful for God to see it, he'd have to come down. Okay? So, here's this cap right here. Okay? And I'll put myself up here. So obviously I can still see the cap. All right? You know that and I know that. But imagine for a moment that you see me coming down like this. Okay, that's the idea. That's what the author wants. That's the visual that the author wants you to. God had to come down to see this big tower that's pitiful compared to our God. So if we have the fall of Adam and we have the fall of
Noah,
what do we have here?
Humanity's fall.
That's right. We have humanity's fall. We have humanity's fall. And this is very important for you to realize. This is very important for you to realize. Now, number three, and we're done. Number three, and we're done. What's next? The very next thing. Look at the very next verse. What is it?
Generations of Shem.
Of Shem. Why? Wait a minute. Why? Why did you interrupt? We already had the two generations. Now you bring in Shem. Again, here it is. Shem's genealogy. Shem's Toledot. Why? Why do we care about Shem? Why do we care about Shem?
He's the one who leads on to Jesus.
That's correct. But who's he going to lead on to next? What major character? We're going to turn the page to chapter 12.
Abram,
that's right. Shem is going to take me to Terah, and Terah is going to give me Abraham. Yep. All right, so that's day creation era in its totality. That's a good summation of the creation era. Next week, we'll get into the patriarchs. We're going to do 1 week each of the eight eras, okay? So we get an oversight of all of them. So here's your homework. Here's your homework. And we're coming in to test on what you saw already. What you saw already. Yes, please.